Baruchim Abayim to another week of Parsha Insights, Parshas Miketz. Mamish Erev Chanukah, Tovshin Pehei. We're zoicha to be approaching Chanukah tomorrow night, the first lich, coinciding with Parshas Miketz, as it very often does. So I'd like to dedicate tonight's shiur to both Parshas Miketz and the Chwed Chanukah and tie the two together. The Shir Parsha Insights is Lezecher Nishmas, Ule'ile Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serina, and Leon Ben Rachel. We're Mispal at Bezos Hashem, their Neshama Tahira should have a lichtig and lichtig Gan Eden. And people who speak about hearing the Shir often tell me that they indeed say it over at their Shabbos table because they know that I ask. That it will bring an added enhancement to our Kedusha Shabbos to be able to say it at the table, share it with people, and that will be a wonderful, wonderful schus. So I'm grateful to all those in the Heichel, those on the phone, and those who will hear the recording, Parshas Miketz, Parsha Insights, Shabbos, Chanukah. A few years ago, we mentioned the Pshat from the Helig of Bnei Yisoschar. It is such a powerful, powerful Pshat. I want to, since we said it a few years ago, remind us of what we said. And then with your Rishus, I want to add to the Pshat. If you take a look in the Parsha, Yosef explained to Paro the meaning of his two dreams. At the beginning of Parshas Miketz, he had the dreams. And both were interpreted to essentially mean that there would be 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. Yosef was suggesting that there should be somebody appointed to properly prepare Mitzrayim for the upcoming famine. If you're going to have years of plenty followed by years of famine, then you should properly prepare. And the Pasuk says, V'chimesh es Eretz Mitzrayim. You should prepare Eretz Mitzrayim, and literally it means in an agricultural fashion. You should make sure to make the preparation so that there's what to eat in the years of famine. The Bnei Yisoschar begins by telling us something so incredible. The Yevonim, in the times of Chanukah, there were primarily three mitzvahs that they outlawed. And it's well known those mitzvahs were Rosh Chodesh, Chodesh, and Bris Milah, meaning Milah, and Shabbos. If you take a look at the first letter of Chodesh, and Milah, and Shabbos, Ches Mem Shin, it spells the word Chimesh, which is the word we just read in Parshas Miketz. Now, what's the connection? Chimesh es Eretz Mitzrayim means, in an agricultural fashion, to prepare the land for the years of famine. That's a smart, wise decision. But the Bnei Yisoschar tells us that we know that the Yevonim wanted to outlaw in the Chanukah story, primarily Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos, and that Ches Mem Shin spells that word Chimesh. In other words, Yosef was essentially saying, not only does Mitzrayim have to be prepared outwardly with agricultural preparation, but apparently regarding the Shibud Mitzrayim and the exile in the very debased and decadent and immoral land of Mitzrayim, the Jews had to prepare Chimesh, Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos. What does that mean? In other words, one thing is clear. Besides it being an outward manifestation of agricultural preparation, clearly the Bnei Yisoschar is learning the Chimesh Es Eretz Mitzrayim to mean that Klal Yisrael had to prepare for the upcoming Golos, the Chimesh Es Eretz Mitzrayim prepare it with Chodesh, Milah, and Shabbos. Why those three? Besides the fact that the letters work out perfectly, why those three? So the Bnei Yisoschar tells us, and this is really the basis of tonight's shiur, something so powerful. These three mitzvahs stand at the foundation of Yiddishkeit. It is these three mitzvahs primarily that when we're looking for the Shechina to dwell amongst us, and we always ask, is your home one where the Shechina will feel comfortable? Are you the type of person with whom the Shechina feels comfortable dwelling and residing within you? These three mitzvahs are the three primary mitzvahs that bring about the Shechina to rest amongst Klal Yisrael. Bris Milah, that's a rather easy one. When a Jewish child, or I should say when a child becomes a proper Jewish child through Bris Milah, that's causing the Shechina to dwell within that child. When the Ribbono Shel Olam came to Avraham Avinu, if you take a look actually at the end of Psukim, at the end of Lech Lecha, it speaks about Avram Avinu getting a bris, having his bris milah. And the opening pasuk of Parshas Vayera, Perek Yuches, pasuk Al, the opening pasuk, Vayera Elav Hashem, Hashem appeared to him. It was precisely the bris milah that immediately afterwards Hashem appeared to him. Why? Because bris milah is the vehicle and the vessel to allow the Shekhinah to dwell within a person. So right after the end of Lech Lecha, when Abram had bris milah, Vayera Elav Hashem, immediately Hashem appears. Why? Because now the presence of the Shekhinah is manifest. The same thing with Shabbos. Oy, Shabbos Kodesh. Heilige, heilige, heilige Shabbos. We know that the Pasuk says regarding Shabbos, V'shamru b'nei Yisrael es ha-Shabbos, la'asoyis es ha-Shabbos l'dayreisam. L'dayreisam literally means for generations. But we know that in the Pasuk it's spelled missing the Vav. And Chazal tell us that when it's missing the Vav, instead of reading the word l'dayreisam, which would mean generations, as a midar l'dar, it's read l'dirasam, a dira. What's a dira? An apartment. L'dirasam, it's written deficient to tell you l'dirasam. Now Hashem is indicating, I'm residing amongst you, I'm dwelling amongst you because of Kedusha Shabbos. L'dirasam, missing deficient, should be read l'dirasam, like a dira, an apartment. Hashem is now indicating, I'm dwelling and residing with you. And Rosh Chodesh does the same thing. When we do, we go out by Kiddush Levana, we say, Ilmolei Lezach Yisrael, El Elahakul Pre'avi Avi'edem Shem Beshemayim Kol Chodesh V'Chodesh Dayam. Rosh Chodesh is what allows us to greet Pnei Avim, the countenance of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Once again, it's a Kabbalah of Shekhinah. So the commonality in Atzara Shobah Shabbat of these three mitzvahs, that of Bris Milah, and that of Shabbos, and that of Rosh Chodesh, is primarily the three mitzvahs that fundamentally allow the Shekhinah HaKadosha to dwell within us. And obviously, when a person has the Shekhinah within them, they have a far greater chance to face the vicissitudes of life. And now we go from the Yevanim, what they wanted to abolish, back to Parshas Miketz and Yosef. Yosef is now, we read in Parshas Vayesed, having been sold, and here he is entering Mitzrayim, and he's doing quite a bit to prepare for his father and his brothers, and for over 210 years of a Golus and a Shibud in Mitzrayim. He understood that the rest of the nation is going to follow. They're going to be here soon. And they're going to be involved in the enslavement of Mitzrayim. He also understood, and we spoke out in Shir 2 weeks ago, what was at stake in Mitzrayim, as I said a few moments ago, was the most immoral, impure society and people. And he understood that Klal Yisrael was facing, and he was cognizant of the fact that there would be physical danger, and there would be spiritual danger that would be abounding in Mitzrayim. So what did Yosef need to do? He needed to prepare the land. The Chimeis Eseretz Mitzrayim. You think it means only for the Egyptians to prepare agriculturally and get ready for the years of famine? How about getting ready for the years of famine, the spiritual famine? You think without preparation you could survive in Golos? Are you kidding me? You think without preparation you could possibly retain and remain? Didn't we say in Shir 2 weeks ago that Yosef retained and remained the extraordinary level of purity and righteousness? We said he got that, and this is very crucial to hear, Rabbi. So I'm about to do three generations as we did 2 weeks ago. We explained how it started from Yaakov in Beis Lavan, and he transmitted that Torah. You remember the verse we said from Rabbi Yankov 2 weeks ago, Rabbi Yankov Kamenetsky. He transmitted that Torah to Yosef, and Yosef, of course, gave it to Ephraim and Menashe, and that's why we said that on Friday night, one gives their children the bracha to be like Ephraim and Menashe, to retain that purity, to retain and remain that innocence. You know what's going on in the world around us, Rabbi, so you didn't need to come to the shir to learn about that. There were three generations, Yaakov to Yosef, and Yosef to Ephraim and Manasseh. So here Yosef is getting ready for Klal Yisrael and his brothers and his father and his descendants coming to Mitzrayim. V'chimesh es Eretz Mitzrayim. He had to establish the presence of Hashem in this land so that when we come, we won't be negatively affected and adversely affected by all the impurities. So what did he do? He had the Chimesh, Ches Mem Shin. What do we say it stands for? Chodesh, Mila, and Shabbos. He had to establish primarily those mitzvahs in the land of Mitzrayim as a way of making sure to draw Hashem into our midst, to draw the Shechina into Mitzrayim in the sense that when we come now for 200 plus years, we won't be negatively affected. Now, while it's true, Rabbi Yisai, during the time there, we did reach the 49th level of impurity, but we didn't reach the 50th. We were able to make it out in 7 short weeks later, be at the zenith, the pinnacle of Kabbalah Sotayra, Maimed Har Sinai. Additionally, we know that when we were there, there were some mitzvahs that we were not willing to relinquish in iota, Shemam, our Yiddish name and identity, L'shoinim, the proper way of speech, Levusham, the modesty of dress. How were we able to retain with such an extraordinary level those of Shimon, Lashonim, Levusham, have we spoken out countless times? It may very well be from what takes place now, the Chimesh Atheres Mitzrayim. Since he prepared the land of Mitzrayim, Chimesh, Ches Mem Shin, Chodesh, Mila, Shabbos, that brought the Shechina into Mitzrayim, and only because it was prepared in that spiritual sense were we able to at least retain and remain with the standards. And by the way, he established that and gave that to his sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Now we go back to Hanukkah. The Yevanim wanted to remove any godliness, any Shechina from within the presence of the Jew. And that's why they wrote on Karnei HaShor, Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael. In fact, many say the horn of the shor was actually the baby bottle, because they wanted the baby in the infancy, when he would just be drinking milk at that age, to already have his eyes that would see, Rachmana Litzlan, Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael, you have no portion with Elokei Yisrael. In other words, the Yevanim wanted to do the antithesis of what Yosef understood. They wanted to remove the godliness. They wanted to obliterate the idea, Chalil, excuse me for saying the words, of the Shechina, to remove the presence of Hashem from amongst the Jews, and only then would they stand a chance of what? Of what? Of swallowing us up. By removing the godliness, by removing the Shechina, by removing the presence. This has been the battle for generations. This is always our battle in Golos. It's why Yosef understood, V'chimesh Aseres Mitzrayim, if I want my descendants to stand a chance, I must spiritually prepare it. I must spiritually prepare it. I must do everything that in every trial and challenge, tribulation, vicissitude, that there's going to be the Shechina that will help us. And the Yevanim, Ein Lachem Chelek B'Elokei Yisrael, wanted to get rid of it. Rabbi Yisai, it's the challenge. It's the challenge today. It's the challenge today. It's mamash the challenge today. I mentioned, I believe on Friday night, and I had the chance to write it up this week in the Inyan magazine for the Hamodia newspaper. Oh, we spoke about that article earlier today, actually. The Chedush Harim says, the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, such a powerful concept, that the Yevanim were mitameh, the Shemen and the Heichal. But the question the Chedush Rims asked is, Shemen wasn't found in the Heichal. There was a specific room where the Shemen was kept, and it wasn't the Heichal. There was a room that the oil was designated to be in. So the Chedush Rims says, Mamish, the shout we've been saying since the beginning of the Shir from the Heilige B'nai Yisoskor, when it says that the Yevanim wanted to defile the Shemen in the Heichal, Shemen represents not just physical oil, Shemen also represents your machshava, your thought, the Jewish purity. And the Heichal doesn't just represent the room in the Beis HaMikdash. The Heichal is the Heichal within every one of us. Your moyach, your brain, your mind, we are a walking Heichal. The Yevanim weren't only seeking to defile the physical Shemen. They wanted to defile the Shemen Shebeheichel, the Jewish way of thought, the Jewish sanctity, the purity of Machshava. Is it any different today? And it says that we found Pach Echad Shel Shemen. We did find, because you have, the Sfasemis, his grandson, says, it says, Bodku, you have to search. It doesn't always happen so easily. You have to search and search and search and search and find that Pach Echad Shel Shemen, that pure thought from within. My father, Zatzal, explained so beautifully. That's how he explains a sentence in the Alanisim, which of course we're going to add starting tomorrow night. It says that after the Beis HaMikdash became pure once again, Hidliku Neiris B'chatzrat Chachacha, they lit the candles in the Chatzar, in the courtyard. But the Menaira, the Neiris, were not lit in the Chatzar. They were lit inside the Beis HaMikdash. So why were they lighting B'chatzrat Chachacha? So my father, Zatzal, explained so beautifully the same concept of the Chedush Yerim. Every person is their own chatzar. Every person is their own courtyard. And when the Yevonim found that Pach Echad Shel Shemen, that pure, that you have to sometimes search for, it had the ability to light up. It had the ability to light up the Chasreis Kachecha in every person's personal neshama. Personal nefesh, personal chatzar, personal Beis HaMikdash. There's a physical Beis HaMikdash, and you're a Beis HaMikdash. There's a physical chatzar, and within your neshama, within your ruach, within your nefesh, that's your chatzar. And when they lit that Pach Echad Shel Shemen, it was restoring Bechatzreit Kachecha, the Chimesh Bechol Eretz Mitzrayim. It was bringing back not only the mitzvahs of Chodesh Milan Shabbos, it was bringing back the Shekhinah. It was bringing back the godliness. It was bringing back the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the battle of the Yevonim and Hanukkah today. That's the battle today. It's the battle you face when you're here, when you go on the street. It's the battle wherever you are. That's the battle. And it's our job to find within our own nefesh and neshama, within our personal chatzar, not just the mitzvahs of the chimesh and to prepare, but what it represents. It represents the beauty of the Shekhinah. But as I say very often, it has to be that the Shekhinah feels comfortable dwelling and residing in our home, within us. This past Friday night, I said over a beautiful pshat from the Chedush Harim. You might wonder why a moment ago I went ahead and said that based on Shir 2 weeks ago, we said that the purity was something that Yaakov gave to Yosef, who in turn gave it to Ephraim and Menashe, and that's how in more than 200 years, make no mistake, Rabbi, say we did reach the 49th level, but it wasn't the 50th. The 50th would have been the point of no return. And as low of a level as we reached, 7 weeks later, Hashem has still allowed us to be at the pinnacle and the zenith of Kabbalah HaTorah. And like I told you already earlier in the shir, there were the Shemam, Lashonim, and Levushim that we didn't negate or water down in iota. That all stemmed from the preparation of Chimesh, allowing Hashem to reside within us. And that's the Messiah we have to pass on to our children. We said over from the Chedush HaYerim this past Friday night so beautifully, we of course light oil, the Shemen. Really, it's made up of three parts. There's the oil, there's the wick, and there's the flame. Think about lighting the menorah tomorrow night. There's the oil, there's the wick, and there's the flame. And if you think about it, one is drawn from the other. You have the oil that's drawn into the wick, and then the wick itself is drawn into the flame. That three represents the hemshech, the chain, the continuity. We know chuta meshulosh loibim heri yinatek. When you have something that's three ply, it's not easily severed. Isn't that true in generations? We need a hemshech hadoris, like the hemshech I told you of Yaakov to Yosef to Ephraim and Menashe. So when you see the oil being drawn into the wick, being drawn into the flame, that represents a function of the chuta meshulosh, the mesoira, that will continue to persist from Har Sinai until the coming of Mashiach. And it's our job, it's our job, it's our job to pass that Messiah onto our children and to their Enoch Lach and to the generations, of the oil to the wick to the flame. And the Chiddush Erim says so beautifully, the flame, the ner, gets its strength from the wick, which is the psila. And the psila, the wick, I just told you a moment ago, gets its strength from the shemen, the oil. So you have the ner getting its koyach from the psila, the wick, and the psila getting it from the shemen, the oil. Says the Chiddush Erim, what's the first letter of ner, psila, and shemen? Nun pei shin, it spells nefesh. If you want to keep the nefesh, the soul and the spirit and the sanctity to be able to continue, the nefesh, which stands for nun pei shin, ner, psila, shemen. The ner gets its strength from the shemen, and the shemen gets its psila, I meant, and the psila gets its strength from the shemen. Similar, the child gets it from the father, who gets it from the grandfather, and that's the way it goes back to Kabbalah Soterah, that's the Hemshech HaDoiris. That's why nefesh stands for ner, psila, and shemen, because to get the kayach, it must be that you draw the strength from the previous generation. So says the Chiddush Erim. That's why when we light, there are the three. It's the Chut HaMeshulosh. It's the process of one drawing from the other. It's the nefesh. The truth is, I mentioned twice last week, and I feel funny mentioning it a third time. Maybe the only way I could justify it is we just said, V'chut HaMeshulosh lo b'meiri yinotek. Three isn't easily severed. So maybe if I mention it a third time, it's not easily severed. But there's a reason I'm mentioning it, not just because it's fabulous. We started this year with a pshat from the Bnei Yisoskar, and as we start towards the end of this year, we also have a pshat from the Bnei Yisoskar. The Bnei Yisoskar says a different word, and I did say it twice. I had a chance to say it last week when we spoke for a siyum on Lavavasa for Dafayemi. And then we said it's Friday night as part of this Kedush Erim. But I'd like you to hear an added knach, an added dimension to the pshat of the Bnei Yisoskar. The Heilige B'nai Yisrael is talking about the letters on the dreidel. There's a Nun, a Gimel, a Shin, and a Hey. And he explains it represents the way that they wanted to attack us in every Golos. In the Golos of Mitzrayim, it was an attack against our Nefesh. Which could certainly be explained with the idea that it says when we entered Mitzrayim, we went down Shivim Nefesh. There was an attack against our soul, which is why they wanted to go ahead, and that's why Yosef had to prepare the land by bringing the Shechina in, because they were attacking our nefesh. In the story of Purim, it was very much an attack against our guf. L'hashmin, l'harog, l'abed, is kol ha-yehud, and they wanted to attack us physically. In the Chanukah story, it was very much an attack against our seichel, our intellect, as I brought down earlier from the Chiddush Harim, it was an attack against the Shemen Shebehechol, our Moyach, our Machshava, Jewish sanctity, our thought. L'ashkicham teresech avim rechukir etzenecho is an attack against our Seichel. And today, unfortunately, we're living in a Golos where they want to attack everything, every dimension. In fact, we spoke about this on Shabbos as well. The Bar Mitzvah boy mentioned it so beautifully in his drasha. Mitzrayim, they wanted to attack our nefesh. In Purim, they wanted to attack our guf. In Chanukah, they wanted to attack our seichel. And today, everything. Hakol. Says the Bnei Yisoskar so beautifully, those are the letters on the dreidel. There's a nun, a gimel, a shin, and a hey. The nun stands for nefesh, a representation of Mitzrayim. The Gimel stands for Guf, a representation of what happened in Purim. The Shin stands for Seichel, the representation of what happened during Chanukah. The Hey stands for Hakol, everything. Nun, Gimel, Shin, Hey, Nefesh, Guf, Seichel, and Hey stands for Hakol. It's a representation of the four times in Golos. And what do we do with the dreidel? We spin it and spin it and spin it as our way of showing we're going to bring back the Shechina, we're going to bring back the Kedusha, we're going to get back our Guf, get back our Seichel, get back the Nefesh, get back Hakol. Keep spinning it and spinning it and spinning it. It's an Avoida. What's the gematria of the Nun and Gimel and Shin and Hey? It's exactly 358. That should excite us. 358 is the exact gematria of the word Mashiach. Mem, Shin, Yud, Ches is 358, which is exactly the gematria of the Nun, the Gimel, Shin, and the Hey. But don't get so excited, because the original impurity stemmed from the Nachash HaKadmoni, that original serpent. And Nachash, Nun, Ches, Shin, is also 358. And that's the battle as we spin the dreidel. The 358 of the Nun, the Gimel, the Shin, and the Hey, we have to make sure does not give power to the Nachash, but rather brings about Mashiach. They're both 358. But it depends on how we behave ourselves in Golos. If we allow the fall of the Nefesh and the Guf and the Seichel HaKol, then the 358 that will be prime is that, unfortunately, of the Nachash. But if we make sure v'chimesh to prepare ourselves and prepare ourselves with the Hemshech HaDairis and to prepare ourselves and fortify ourselves, then when we spin the dreidel, the 358 could very well be the 358 of Mashiach. In each generation, they indeed seek. I want to point out one thing before I mention a concluding work from the Marbe Chaim, which means from Reb Chaim Brim, something a friend of mine showed me a year or two ago, which I think is the most beautiful pshat to take into Hadlokas Neiris. I wish everyone in Klal Yisrael would know this pshat. It's so worthy, the one we're about to say from the Marbe Chaim, Reb Chaim Brim, to take into Hadlokas. If you're aware of somebody who doesn't know it, share it with them. But I just want to get to that in a moment, and I want to make something clear. Because you might ask me a question. A moment ago we said from the Chiddush HaHarim that when the flame is drawn from the wick, which is drawn from the oil, that's the ner, from the psila, from the shemen, it spells nefesh. And nefesh, here we are talking about Chanukah, when we said nefesh is really primarily stemming from Mitzrayim, according to the pshat we said earlier. Chanukah, we said, was the shin of seichel. I think the pshat is, and I believe it's accurate, in every one of those goluses, and you could bring a raya, the enemy wanted to attack every part of us. Tell me, you think they only wanted to attack our guf in the Haman story of Purim? That's not true. Look at what they wanted to do to our guf in the Shibud Mitzrayim. They took the babies and they put the babies in walls. They wanted to drown the babies. They gave us back-breaking labor. So you can't say that guf is exclusively, this is my understanding, exclusively for the Purim story. The guf is also found in the story of Mitzrayim. And if we had more time, I would show you how each of them, the seichel, the nefesh, and the guf is found in each of those three. They're all found in Mitzrayim that the Egyptians wanted to do to us. They're all found in the Chanukah story that the Avonim wanted to do to us. And they're all found in the Purim story, what Haman and the people wanted to do to us. They're all in each of those goluses. I think what the pshat is, but the way and the manifestation of how it came about in the story of Mitzrayim, although it was an attack against our guf and our seichel and our nefesh, but it began with the primary vehicle against our nefesh. And once they had the nefesh, then that would bring the downfall to the guf and seichel as well. And similarly for the other two, in Chanukah it was an attack against our seichel, but after the seichel would be attacked, that would bring down our guf and our nefesh. So I'm merely saying that I believe all three were in each one of the goluses, only the shaila was the primary vehicle to bring about the downfall. Primary vehicle in Mitzrayim was the nefesh. The primary vehicle in the Chanukah story was the seichel. The primary vehicle in the Purim story was the guf. But it doesn't mean to the negation and exclusion of the others. It meant it started with and then continued to. And today, Hakol. Hakol means that they primarily do attack our nefesh. We don't have to be reminded how they attack our guf and how they attack our seichel. That's the uniqueness of the golos we're in, Rabbi. So hear me well. That's the uniqueness of the golos we're in, whereas in the others there was a primary vehicle and it brought about a taitza, an outcome. Here I believe in the golos that we're in, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, each of the three, there's a primary attack against our nefesh and against our seichel and against our guf. That's why it's so critical of the chimesh to prepare to bring the Shekhinah within our home. And when the Shekhinah is in our home, we swim the dreidel and it comes out Mashiach, not Nachash. In conclusion, says the Maribe Chaim, and this is what I told you, it'd be so beautiful if everybody in the world in Klal Yisrael would know. If you take a look, there's a Rashi in the beginning of Ba'aloyscha where Aaron is told to light the menorah, and Rashi says that when Aaron HaKoyen saw Chanukas HaNesiyim, the inauguration of this Nesiyim, that they brought karbonos, chol shadaita, he felt badly, says Rashi. Shloi hoya imam mechanuka v'loi hu v'loi shiftai. Not he or the rest of the Shevet Levi were involved in the inauguration. All of the other Shvatim, all of the other Nesiyim, all of the other tribes brought their karbonos, but not he nor his Shevet. So he felt badly that he was not part of bringing the karbonos. Omar lo yakodesh baruch Hashem said chayecha shelecho gidayim mishelohem, the role that you're going to have is greater than their role. What is it that they just did in the seam of all of the other shvatim? They brought the karbonos. What is it that you're going to do? Atamadliku meitiv esaneiros, as it says ba'lois chesaneiros olmulpanei oraneira. You and your shevet are going to kindle. You're going to light. You're going to prepare the menorah. You're going to prepare and light the menorah. So what did Rashi say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron to make him feel that he shouldn't feel badly? What you are going to do is greater than they. They brought karbonos, but you're being madlik the menorah. I think it was crystal clear the way you explained Rashi. How do you understand that the lighting of the Neiris in the Beis HaMikdash is Gedoila greater than the Karbonos? Seemingly, they both exist as long as the Beis HaMikdash is Kayim, is there. So why is the Menorah lighting and preparation greater than the Karbonos? When there's a Beis HaMikdash, both exist, and when there's no Beis HaMikdash, neither exists. So what, pray tell, makes one greater than the other? The Sefer Maribe Chaim brings down, and if you take a look, you could see it quite clearly. There's a Tanchuma that says it. The Ramban speaks it out. And I'd like to read you just the Lashon of the Tanchuma, and this is the Lashon. What makes it greater? Karbonos, the sacrifices, the offerings, kol zman shebeis hamigdash kayim, as long as there's a beis hamigdash, heim noihagin, you bring karbonos. And when there's no Beis HaMikdash, you no longer bring karbonos. Aval haneiros, but the lighting of the menorah, la'olam, is forever. Now, it's an extraordinary Tanchuma and Medrash Ramban, but how do you understand it? When the Beis HaMikdash ceased to exist, so did the lighting of the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. Vos meint the Tanchuma, karbonos ceased, but the lighting of the menorah la'olam. What do you mean? The lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash also ceased to exist when the Beis HaMikdash was nechrav. What does the Tanchuma and the Ramban mean? So the Maribe Chaim says, and the Loshon is so powerful, that's true, that the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash stopped when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But what it means in the Tanchuma when it says the Neiros are la'olam, that means that when every person is in his home, and might I add, according to my father's pshat, you really are your own chatzar. Remember my father's pshat. The chatzar is you. The Beis HaMikdash is your home. So when you are found, be it in North Miami Beach or New York or Australia or wherever it might be, and you're being madlik the Neiros, you're being madlik the menorah, and the menorah is clearly a hemshech, a continuation of the lighting that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Or else, how could you explain the words that menorah is la'olam? What do you mean menorah is la'olam? The same way karbonos ceased when the Beis HaMikdash did, so did the lighting of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. Elamai, he says so beautifully, and you have to look at the lashon. The lashon is so beautiful. Every time a person, when one lit in the Beis HaMikdash, HaMe'ira b'chol olamos hel yayinim, it lit up the highest of the highest, the deepest of the deep, in the Olmei Olamim, That's what the lighting was like in the Beis Hamikdash. Tehulamad, now go out and see. Oymed lo Yehudi, wherever there's a Jew standing, and that Jew is being madlik the menorah, and he's saying, Asher kitshonu b'mitzvayta b'tzivonu, lahadlik ner chanukah. And he's madlik the neighbors in his home, wherever his home is, whatever his address is, whatever continent he's in. Harehu doime b'oysoy sha'a, at that moment of being madlik the menorah, he is exactly comparable La'aron u'labonav u'lachashmanayim hakdosh about the hirim, as they lit in the Beis Hamikdash, you're lighting in your home. And that's what the Tanchum and Ramban mean when they say the menorah is la'aylam. The karbonos cease to exist. Of course, I want to be fair and point out, when we speak about karbonos and we learn Mishnayos, it's to be like karbonos and to bring back the karbonos. But the menorah is greater because the menorah is la'olam. How's the menorah la'olam, says the Ma'ar B'chaim? It must be the same way that when they lit in the Beis Hamikdash and it brought about light in the Olmei Olamim, in the highest spheres and echelons possible. Listen to the Lashon I just read. Say ulamad, go out and see. When a Yid lights wherever that Yid is, might I add, as I said already once, according to my father's pshat, when you light in your home, you're really lighting in your chutzner. You're lighting in your personal Beis Hamikdash. And now you see what the makor is. And the makor to that is because we're saying over here, when you light, you're tapping into that light. It's a hemshech of that light. You are lighting and bringing about the same purity and holiness like Aaron Ubanov and the Chashmonaim did then. And that's the pshat that when you light the menorah today, it's la'olam, la'olam, la'olam. For that light, we asked the question, the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash, it ceased to be lit, yes, but we continue throughout the thousands of years. That's a hamshoch, and that's what it means, that the neiros are la'olam. Our lighting is like the lighting in the Beis Hamikdash. Please, Rabbis, I share that with others as we're going to start being madlik neiros. Wherever we might be in the diaspora, in the Golos, wherever one finds himself, that lighting, as we read clearly from the Ma'ar B'chaim, Be'oisai sha'a, doime la'aren u'labonu v'lachashmanayim hakdoshim v'hatahayrim. And when you light, it could bring about the same that it did in the Shivas Kenei HaMenorah, ad ha'ilomos ha'al-yoynim, may we taka be zaycha as we light the menorah to realize our lighting is a hemshech. It's the same lighting of the lighting in the Beis Hamikdash. And we're lighting it in our chatzar, in our personal Beis Hamikdash. Well, let's beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu that by doing that, and bringing the Shechin and bringing his presence into our lives and into the world, when we spin the dreidel, it should bring about a return of the nefesh, a return of the seichel, a return of haguf, a return of hakol. It should bring about the 358 of Mashiach. So that we're zoiche now to see, our lighting will bring about the lighting by Aaron Ubanov in the Beis Hamikdash b'mehera b'yameinu. I wish everyone a lichtige Chanukah.